That's the Lord's desire for us this morning, is to lift Him up. We don't want to lift man up. We don't want to lift ourselves up. We don't want to exalt who or what we are, but we want to lift up Jesus Christ and who He is and what He is. One of the beautiful things about the prophecy that we have been studying and plan to study for a little time to come is that the revelation that was given to John was about lifting up Jesus Christ. It reveals who Christ is. It reveals who He is today. Desire and interest in your prayers, we look into the Word. I'd like to begin this morning over in the 46th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46, beginning with verse 9. It says, "Remember the former things of old." It's a good thing for us to remember this morning. It's a good thing for us to remember. So the prophet is saying, "Remember the former things of old." It was God speaking through the prophet. "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring from the beginning, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Remember that Yahweh is God. Remember who God really is. "There is no one like me," He said. There is no one like God. In prophecy, there is no symbol that represents God, because God is God. He is the I Am. There is nothing we can talk about, something that would represent His glory and represent and try to represent His beauty, but there is no symbol that can represent the personhood of God Himself. He is a spirit. He is truth. He is righteous. He is holy. He is all that is pure, and He is an all-knowing God. And He was telling the people, remember the things of old. Remember that I am God. And don't ever be deceived in thinking that there is anything else like me. There's no one else like me. The prophets of old foretold future events through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, we have the major prophets and we have the minor prophets. They spoke through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were moved by God Himself. And man didn't have the ability to foretell what was going to happen in the future. But it was God that did that. And part of what He told the prophet to tell the people here was declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. In other words, that was part of how God revealed Himself. This is part of the evidence of truth this morning. That there are things that were prophesied that had not yet happened, and they came to pass. The amount, and I know I've gone through some of the statistics, and we won't do that this morning, but even looking at just a few of the prophecies of the coming of Jesus Christ are near to impossible. Near to impossible statistically. But yet, because God said it, it happened. Because God looked into the future. It was not, we have the issue of predestination. We were all predestined for every child of God to live a holy life, because that was the plan that God put in order. But yet God looked in the future and He saw the choices that man as free moral agents were going to make. And then He had His prophets write down what was going to happen. And there were many of the prophecies in Jeremiah and Isaiah were in Jonah. If you do this, this is going to happen. That was a prophecy. And when people did follow that, the Lord did what He said He would do. Saints, make no mistake this morning, God is going to do what He said He will do. And we must live. The Scripture says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's true. We will not see God in all of His glory, nor will we see Him when we die if we don't live a holy life. The Lord said it, and it's going to be that way. And he's telling us still this morning, remember, I am God. Remember the prophecies that I've given, and I prophesied of things that had not yet happened. They came to pass. Don't forget that. The scripture said, his counsel, my counsel shall stand. Wisdom of men comes and goes. There are, even today, there are so many different philosophers that you can follow. One, there are so many different philosophies of life. What's your philosophy of life? How do you approach life? And what is the foundation of your decisions? And some people, that again, they follow the wisdom of men. You know, the wisdom of men in marriage. The wisdom of men in child raising. The wisdom of men in how to serve people. But folks, the wisdom of men comes and go. And I'll say something else about the wisdom of a man. I'll quote the word of God. It says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's not that there are not things out there that are true, but it's true because God made it that way. But the wisdom of this world, the philosophies of life that tend to take people further away from God, folks, those things are foolishness. Young people, children, be careful who you listen to. Because there's a lot of philosophies out there, but the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, because the wisdom of this world will not enable you to inherit eternal life. This life is just a blip in the radar screen of what eternity is. So why would we base our life on how I can get the most fame, most recognition, most money, most physical pleasure, when I recognize that I'm living my short years in this earth, I'm living them with another goal in mind. The counsel of God stands in what he said is true and it is right. The scripture also says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. The ways of a man. Folks, remember. Remember that your ways and my ways in the flesh will bring death. When we say, well, I don't see it that way, how you see it and how I see it really doesn't matter in the scheme of things. Whether I understand all the reasons why God said to live this way, I may not understand it all, but I know this morning, God is God and his counsel is sure. You young people, it's normal and it's natural to question things. It's normal to say, well, I don't understand that, and do I really need to live that way? But know this, the counsel of God stand is sure. And if the Bible teaches a life of holiness, and we see where the world, the wisdom of the world, is trying to cause us to have a laissez-faire attitude to spiritual things, saying it doesn't matter, I'll say that's foolishness. The counsel of God stand is sure. And he went on to say this, and I will do all my pleasure. I'm going to do what I want to do, because God is God. We don't understand all the ways of God. His ways are past finding out. We search them out. We just see a little glimpse into things. In these revelation studies of Daniel, through prophecy, we just get a little glimpse of things that were to be, that have been done, and yet things that are still to come. We just get a little glimpse, and we still see through a glass darkly. But if we will follow the counsel of God, one of these days we're going to see him face to face. I want to see him face to face. There's only one way to do it, and it's going through his counsel. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But what? But my word shall not pass away. Do you know this earth, when the Lord comes back? This world, this earth, when Jesus comes back, this earth is going to be destroyed with fire. What's going to happen to this Bible? It's going to burn up. Do you recognize that this Bible, these pages were written physically by man, or a computer or a printer that man made? But the words in them represent something. The words here, this word, this book is going to pass away, but the eternal truths that are in it will never pass away. So you can go, and it's one of the things that I thought of recently, in the Muslims, when you burn a Quran, that is a killing offense. You burn a Quran and there's great riots and indignation, and people are oftentimes killed in other countries if they think you have burned a Quran. But I would say this, do you know what the difference is for a Christian? This is not my holiness this morning. If you take this book, we ought to be respectful of it. Don't misunderstand me. Because it does represent something. So we're respectful of it. But if someone were to take it and burn it all up, they can never take the truth, because His word is going to stand forever. Thy word have I hid where? In my heart, that I would not sin against God. Folks, there's truths in the word of God. We don't need to be afraid of truth. As we open up our eyes and open up our hearts to truth, it will illuminate, it will reveal. And that is what the revelation is. Revelation means unveiling. It reveals, it rolled back the curtain that we could just get a little glimpse of what was going to happen in the future. God is going to do as He will do. We can run from God. Remember Jonah? He ran from God, but guess what? God knew where he was. We can run from God, we can run from His ways, but God is going to find us and He's going to do as He will. We can try to circumvent God's will this morning. We can try to build the Tower of Babel. We can build an idol to another God. We can build a place, yes, maybe to escape the flood. Some say the Tower of Babel was to get higher than the water. Others just say it was a place of worship to their idol God. But whatever the case, they were trying to circumvent God's will for their life. But God did what He pleased to do, and He confounded their tongues. Folks, we can run, but God knows where we're at. We can try to circumvent His will, but God is going to do as He pleases, and He will bring those that seem to be high and mighty. He has a way of bringing them low. There is going to come a day that every eye is going to see Jesus as He is, and everybody is going to fall down and say, "This is the Son of God." All those that have denied Jesus as a Son of God, there is going to come a day that every knee shall bow and worship Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's part of the book of Revelation. Oh, do you know that in the scripture, we read about Jesus who was persecuted. We read about the Jesus who was rejected. We read about the Jesus who was not comely in the flesh. We read about the Jesus that was rejected of His disciples and knew what it was like to be cast out. We read about the Jesus that was persecuted. We read about the Jesus that was put in the tomb. But in the book of Revelation, we see a different Jesus. We see a Jesus that has been resurrected from the dead, that everybody will begin to honor Him as King of Kings. This is the Savior. This is the one that is going forth to conquer and to conquer. There is no power than the power of Jesus Christ. And that is what part of Revelation does, is illuminates our vision to the power of Jesus Christ and to His people, the church of God. He will do as He will. We read over in the book of Daniel last week in the second chapter, it said that God was the revealer of what? He's the revealer of secrets. He sees the secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwelleth Him. Folks, God is a revealer of secrets. There is nothing in my life or in your life that God does not know tonight. Nothing. The Lord knows everything that is in our life. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows our struggles. He knows our temptations. He knows the things that people think about you that are true. And He knows the things that people think about you that are false. He knows the things that the image that people try to build themselves up into be. But the Lord knows the reality of who we are. The Lord knows all about us. But as children, I don't want to be a child of the darkness. I want to be a child of the light. That I'm not afraid of God, who is a revealer of secrets. I want God's will to be accomplished in my life. And so we can say, as John the Revelator did at the closing words of the book of Revelation, he said, "Surely The Spirit said, surely I come quickly. And Jesus said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. I'm not afraid for the revealer of secrets to come and take me to the judgments. And I say, Lord, I'm ready by your grace. He knows all things this morning. He is the light. He searches us out. And over in the prophet Hosea, in the 14th chapter and the 9th verse, the question is asked. It said, who is wise? And he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right. The just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. The ways of the Lord are right this morning. They're right. We don't need to be afraid of them, but they're truth and they're right. I thank God for that word. God has revealed some of those hidden mysteries, some of those secret things. God revealed those hidden mysteries to his servants. He revealed some to Daniel, who was humble of heart. He revealed some to John, the apostle John. If you will open your book, your Bible, to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, It's the revelation that God gave and revealed. It is oftentimes referred to as the apocalypse. Apocalyptic writing, that which reveals, that which unveils, history that was pre-written of the things that were going to come, that would shortly come to pass. We've touched on, and as we will, as we continue the study of Daniel and Revelation, that it is a book of hieroglyphics, if you will. It's a book of symbols. It's a book of pictures that represent something. And it reveals the history of the church from its inception to the end of time. It reveals it tells about the birth and the battles and the victories of the church. It gives prophecy of the political and ecclesiastical alliances down through the history of those things that have affected God's people. The book of Revelation reveals, in my mind, as no other book does, the battle between good and evil. The book of Revelation, the mystery that God opened up just a little bit for us to get a glimpse, it reveals more than anything the difference in the battle between truth and error. You children, you young people, my prayer is, and for the adults as well, but that we would have a vision of what truth is and that we would value it. It has not come for free. There's been a price paid for the truth that we have this morning. There's been a great price paid. And when we begin to see the spiritual battle that is taking place, it changes the way that I look at denominations. It changes the way I look when people say, well, they're a good person and they're fellowshipping with this church over here. Folks, if it's not the church of God, and I'm talking about not just these four walls, if it's not God's church and God's truth, I want to recognize what spirit that thing's of. I want to recognize who is it that's giving, favoring that institution of man. The book of Revelation begins to expose spiritual error for what it is. In the first verse, he said, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God. Now listen, what was John bearing record of? He bore record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Well, I don't think Revelation is important. I think we just need to stay in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you just get saved, I'll agree with that statement. But there's a time that we need to grow up. There's a time we need to get beyond milk. There's a time that we come of some spiritual age. And this is what the Lord said. This is what the Spirit of God says. Blessed is he that readeth. Readeth what? Readeth these things that are told us in the book of Revelation. You want to be blessed today? we want to read. But he went on to say, and so we can read, but he said, and they that hear the words of the prophecy. And he went on to say, and those that keep the things that are written therein. See, we don't want to just be hearers of the word, but we want to hear it and we want to keep it. What are we supposed to keep? I want to keep that divine revelation of who Jesus Christ is. When I'm in a battle, I don't want to see Jesus is now being despised and rejected. I want to see my Lord conquering. I want to know that I too can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I don't want to love my life even unto death because I have another goal in mind. I want to see when I begin to live life and I feel the pressures of life and I feel the spiritual religious pressures around me, I want to have a revelation of what is the church. In this day and age, people are confused. And I know as the numbers get smaller, we say, is this really God's people? How can I know it's God's people? It's more than history, but it's the truth where God has blessed truth and where truth is and where the Spirit is. The Lord said, I'm going to be there. So whether we're two of us or 100 of us or 10,000s of thousands, I want to be where the Word and the Spirit are. And then I begin to get a vision that God's church is even bigger than just the people I know. The church of God includes all the blood-washed one of all nations and kindreds and tongues the world over. Oh, thank God that the Lord is the one that knows who are His. And we get a vision of a victorious church that we can be just a small part of in this generation, that, Lord, I want you to look down and say, thank you, well done, for hearing and keeping and doing the things that are contained in this prophecy. We're not getting very far this morning. Book of John, the book of Revelation, rather, was written by John, the disciple. Call him John the Revelator. It was written in 95 A.D. John, at the time of this writing, is very possible that he was feeling very lonely. Very alone, because do you know that all of his brothers in the Lord that he had worked with closely through the years, do you know what had happened to them? They'd gone out into eternity. They had been killed. All of the disciples, except for John, had been killed. James was killed by Herod with a sword. He was beheaded in A.D. 44-45. Keep in mind, this was written in 95. John was on the Isle of Patmos. He had been banished by the emperor on a small Greek, lonely, rocky island on the Isle of Patmos. Here we have just a little illustration that someone had in their mind, but John was there as he got a vision from the Lord. Got a vision as the angel spoke to him of the things that he was to write. Peter, you know, was crucified upside down. Now John's here, and I thought he was beginning to get to be an older man and looking in the past. James, his head was cut off, and Peter was crucified upside down. 30 years before this was written, Andrew was crucified on an olive tree, and his hands were tied rather than nailed, and he preached to the people for 2 days before he died as he hung on a cross. Simon was crucified 20 years before this. Matthew was stabbed and killed. Thomas apparently was thrust with pine spears. Some history says he was tormented with red hot plates until he was burned alive. 25 years before this was written. Philip was tortured and then crucified in 54 AD. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in 72 AD. Matthias was stoned while hanging on a cross. Bartholomew was skinned. He was flayed and then he was crucified. 25 years before this, and James the Less was beaten to death with a club on the head in 63 AD. And so we see a picture of John now. John, who we now call John the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos, In verse 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was not discouraged, but he had been there banished by the emperor. He had been by Domitian for the time. He died. Domitian died in AD 96, and after the emperor died, John and all those that had been banished for their faith in Christ were allowed to go back home. The emperor was not persecuting like those before him. But John himself, history says that he was thrown into a vat of boiling oil. But God spared his life because God had a purpose for him. But imagine how it is when you begin to look and say, well, my brother here was tortured, and this one died, and this was crucified, and I'm the only one left. But do you know John wasn't the only one left? He was writing to someone. He said, I am your brother in tribulation. But he said, I'm in the kingdom. Do you know this morning that John was in the kingdom of God? It wasn't looking for a day to come. John was talking about and revealing that I am in the kingdom of God right now. And while we face tribulation, part of what the book of Revelation did, let the early morning saints know that there's going to come a time of deliverance. There's something ahead to look forward to. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Yes, we're in a battle. Yes, we're being persecuted. Yes, flayed, thrown to wild beasts, burned alive, stoned, all of these things. But yet, don't give up hope, because we serve a resurrected Lord. We serve a risen Savior, so don't give up. Don't let down. After John was allowed to go back from his exile after Nerva, the empire became emperor in 96. John was allowed to go back, and he went back to Ephesus, where it said that he lived and was buried there. After he died, he lived to about 100 years old. He was the only one of the 12 that lived that long. The others were persecuted and martyred for their faith, for this truth that we're talking about. How much are we willing to suffer? Oh, they said something bad about me. Well, bless our heart. We need thicker skin. It's more than thicker skin. That was a wrong expression. We need more devotion. We need to have a closer walk with God. Well, they looked at me funny, or they think I'm strange, or that there have been those that have gone before us that gave their life for this truth that we're talking about. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to say, Lord, I am willing and I am ready? We have more. I'm going to stop there. What John began to see in this first chapter, and we'll continue with, that John got a glimpse. He got a glimpse of who Jesus was. He got a glimpse. And do you know, when we see who Jesus is, it will enable us to go through persecution. We will be willing to suffer all things because of Christ. As Paul said, I count all things but dung, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I'm willing to let the world go. I'm willing to say no to myself. I'm willing to say no to the approval of the crowds. I'm willing to endure persecution of those around me. I'm willing to endure ridicule from those of my own household. And I'm willing to do it. Why? Because I count all things but dung. Why? That I may know Him. Know who? Not the Savior who's lying in the grave, but the Savior who after 3 days rose again, and He's alive forevermore, sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And when we get in trouble, He's not sitting anymore, but He's standing at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and for me, that we too can make it, if we will but yet keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Oh, Revelation is not something to be feared. I know I told you all there's a lot I don't understand about it, but the little that I do, it's an encouragement and a challenge. And I trust the Lord will just open up our eyes, that we'll be encouraged to press the battle on and not give up, that we would be the holy, called out, separate people that are still exalting Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.